Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, the book of Isaiah, amen, it is an honor once again to be with you. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. And this morning as I was, the Lord has a way of waking you up in the midnight hour and the wee hours when you want to get rest. And the Lord just woke me up this morning. I actually had planned on coming this morning and talking to you about faith this morning, but the Lord just had a way of waking us up. And I sometimes question the Lord and say, Lord, why can't you let me rest and talk to me in the morning? But when God wants to get your attention, he'll wake you up. So I feel the Lord this morning. And I'm going to mind the Lord. Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 10, the Bible says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Amen. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I want to preach or teach this morning, have the Lord allows on the subject, he picked you before you had value. God picked you before you even realized your purpose. Amen. Help me pray. Lord, I love you again this morning. Jesus, I thank you, God, for allowing me to be here this morning. I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, I promise to do what you call me to do, preach the word instant in season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you turn around and shake somebody's hand this morning? Amen. 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 If you're going to help me preach this morning, you can be seated. If not, you can remain standing. Amen. He picked you before you had any value. Amen. I want you to know today that God, it is not by happenstance that you're here this morning. You and I, we are alive on purpose. Out of 7 billion plus people, the Lord saw fit to wake you up this morning and to bring you to the house of God. Amen. And to witness his miraculous power. Amen. It was not by some kind of cosmic being or some kind of chemicals or nutrients. Amen. The Lord God Almighty went down to where you were. Amen. God did not find most of us living the high lives of society, but God came down to where you were. Amen. And the lowest of lowest, the Lord saw fit, amen, to bring you out of miry clays. Can we say amen this morning? Amen. God found some of you who were broken this morning. Amen. Some of us were addicted by drugs and alcohol. But God somehow looked beyond our faults and failures and recognized, amen, that there's someone that has value. Amen. Even though we may look at ourselves as nobody and we may discount ourselves, God sees the value that he's placed in us. Amen. The Bible says that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. God, we know that God did not, he's not able to manifest himself in the flesh now. So we are now called to be the children of light, shining in a dark world. God is shining through us this morning. Amen. I believe that it's the will of God for this era to experience revival. I don't believe that is something that's coming. I believe that it's now, it's happening right now. I believe perilous times are among us. But I also believe, amen, that even though there is perilous times, I still believe that the Spirit of God is still moving. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that in the beginning, the earth was at form and void and darkness covered the face of the deep. Even though the earth was void and darkness covered the face of the deep, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord started moving. And when God started moving, things started happening. I believe that we're living in a dark, cold world today. But I also believe that even though the world is dark and cold, that God is still moving in the lives of people who believe that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ever ask or think. How many believe that this morning? I don't believe that we serve a dead God. I don't believe we serve a God, amen, who doesn't provide our needs. I believe that we serve a God who's well aware what we're facing and what we're going through. I'm trying to behave myself, amen. So we understand that when you begin to read the Bible, we know that God would go through extremes, amen, to get people's attention. But understand something. He did not go look for the apostles. He did not go look for Peter living the high lives of society. But he found those, amen, who were in the backsides of deserts, who God would begin to pull out the value that he would place into them. Amen. He would find a David, amen, on the backside tending to sheep. He would find David to place value and purpose in his life. Can I tell you, somebody, this morning that you have value inside of you this morning? You've got value this morning. And if God's going to have a church, amen, in these last days, he has to find people who understand that you've got potential on the inside of you this morning. The Bible says that we are made overcomers not just by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. How many got a testimony today? Anybody got a testimony this morning that says, if it had not been for the Lord, I would still be on drugs. I would be lost this morning, but somehow God looked beyond my faults and failures and he recognized that in 2023, amen, he's going to be the one I'm going to speak through. She's going to be the one that I'm going to speak through. They're going to be the ones who are going to turn Cleveland upside down. You've got value on the inside of you this morning. Come on, somebody. You've got value to reach this city. You've got value to turn this world upside down. You're not going to have to go where God is. He's going to come to right where you are and pull out the potential on the inside of you. When you begin to read the Bible, I find it quite fascinating that the Lord never went to where David was in the lion's den. Daniel was in the lion's den. But the Bible says that when those three Hebrew boys failed to bow down to compromise, hear me, somebody, because they failed not to bow down to compromise, amen, because they failed not to bow down, amen, to the religious scepters of that day. Oh, they undoubtedly they were the outcasts because only three decided not to bow. Therefore, the king was going to use them, amen, as a billboard to showcase to everyone else that what the king says, if you fail to listen to what the king says, it's going to cost you something. Not just to turn the fire up, but to turn it up seven times hotter inside of a fiery furnace. Now, we read this story, we preached about it, but I find it quite fascinating, amen, that the Lord, he could have delivered them out of the fiery furnace. We know that today, we know. But you see, there are instances where God will come down to right where you are, not for your own sake, but to showcase his glory. Come on, somebody. So while you're in the fiery furnaces of your life, that is not the time to give up on God. Hear me, we make the mistake because when we're in that fiery trial, I'm just as guilty as you are because nobody wants to go through trials. Can I get a witness this morning? Because as soon as we go through a trial, we always pray, Lord, get me out of this. Lord Jesus, come quickly. I can't deal with this. But the fact is, there are times where God will want you to stay in the fire because it's in the fiery trials of life you will get the real revelation of just how great God is. Because he may not come when you want him to, but if you can maintain your character in the middle of a fiery furnace, he's a God that will be there right on time. So here they are in that fiery furnace. They've been made fun of, and all of a sudden, one of those men said, King, I understand something. Didn't we throw three in the fire? And he said, yeah. He said, well, I see four in the fire, and one looks like the Son of God. Hear me, somebody. If you'll just maintain your character in the middle of the fiery furnace, come on. The fire may be turned up seven times hotter, and you may be false accused, may be made fun of. But if you can maintain your stance in the middle of the fire, there is a God who sits up high, but he looks down low. He will come right in the middle of a fiery furnace. That's right where you are, not for your own glory, that God will ultimately get the glory. So the real key is when I'm walking through the fire, is how am I going to respond? Understand, God has value inside of you. He's entrusting you, amen, amen, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God is entrusting you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm going to thank God for the Holy Ghost this morning. The good news is if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can get the Holy Ghost this morning. It's Christ in you, the hope. Look at somebody, tell them, do you got the Holy Ghost this morning? Do you got value in you this morning? God is entrusting you this morning. He's placing his spirit inside of you this morning, amen. So when you walk into dry places, amen, devils will flee because of the Christ of God that's in you this morning. Amen, you can walk into a dark room and you will be the light, amen, that will ignite that city. I'm preaching this morning that there's great value that God has placed upon you this morning. Amen, don't you hang your head down low. Amen. Don't you just keep crying, but lift up your eyes unto the hills, for we become of your help. Your help is on the way this morning, because God has trusted you with the Holy Ghost. Value. Amen. A refinery definition is one who takes that has value to it. Sort of like the potter. I was studying a potter one time, and the story said that he would take old fragments, pottery, amen. He would take the pottery and he would throw it away if it had cracks or if it had flaws in it. But Jesus doesn't use us like regular potters do. Jesus takes us with our flaws and our issues and our cracks and our insecurities. Amen. He takes us as we are, and he smooths us out. He gets the kinks and the cracks out, and he puts us back, because he recognizes, amen, that they have great value. He recognizes, amen, that you are the one he's going to use as a conduit, amen, as a vehicle, amen, to get his word across. God recognizes that the great potential that's in this house this morning, that if we're going to have red hot revival, there has to be somebody who recognizes, amen, that God has placed great value on my life. Because out of seven plus billion people, God saw fit to have you in the house of God this morning. Because God has value on your life this morning. Doesn't matter who you are this morning. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you made this morning. It doesn't matter how you may find yourself out of the ark of safety this morning. Hear me. There's a God this morning who has the value, mercy, and blood. Amen. That is reaching for you this morning, friend. He's trying to let somebody recognize this morning that I place a very important value on your life this morning. You're so important to me, amen, that I died for you. You're so important to me, I laid down my life for you. Amen. You're so important to me, I shed innocent blood for you this morning. And I'm coming for you this morning. I want you to know I've got value placed upon you. I've got the Holy Ghost for you this morning, because you're important to me this morning. Friends may forsake us, but because God has placed value on us, you're very important. Somebody say, I'm important in the kingdom. You may not be a great preacher. You may not be able to sing the best. You may not be able to play the best instruments. You may not be an usher. But God has value for you this morning. I walked in this morning, and we were standing in the back. We were fellowshipping. And I looked and I said, man, I remember that guy there. Usher, I remember him. I said, I remember him from way Pentecost Sunday, sitting on that row right there. I remember the Holy Ghost got to moving on him. And I remember him lifting his hands and tears running down his face and God filling with the Holy Ghost. So I'm looking at him today. I said, man, you look sharp. He's got a suit on looking sharp. He said, greeted his pastor with a handshake, gave him a hug. Amen. I said, man, look at you. This year, the usher, and who knows what's going to happen next year. You might be preaching because God saw fit years ago, amen, to have him on a pew, amen, filled with the, come on, somebody. And the same God that did it for him can do it for you this morning, because he places value on your soul this morning. Amen. God seems to go to the uttermost, to the guttermost, to pick those who think they're not qualified. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I don't think I even deserve the right to be in the presence of the Lord. But see, somehow God sees fit. See, we think we have our life in our hands, but somehow God has the master plan. He has a way of altering our life, getting us to realize who he is. When we get the revelation of who he is, then God will place value on us this morning. When we understand, amen, we're just not here just to occupy space. And we realize he's not coming back after a building, but he's coming back after the body. We realize the value and the importance of serving God. We realize we can't compromise what we know in these last days. We got to hang on the truth in these last days. Amen. We got to stand firm in these last days because God has placed value on his church, and that's the only thing he's coming back after is his church. He places value on his church. The Bible says that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. He places value on his church. No, we're not perfect people. Amen. No, we're not great people, but we do serve a perfect and a great God. And because we serve that great and perfect God, he's put value inside of each and every one of you this morning. But the fact of the matter is, even though God has placed value in you this morning, purpose in us this morning, the fact of the matter is, most of us don't really want God to push out the value and the potential that God has in us, because we become comfortable with our surroundings. We know that when God places value in us, it's going to cause us to come out of our comfort zones. When God places value and purpose in you, it's going to cause you to make a firm commitment. As for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord, amen. When God places value on your life, amen, you're going to say, I'm going to come out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, amen. When God places value on somebody, amen, you can look back over your life and realize, amen, if God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, preacher, that when God places value on your life, it doesn't matter what you're facing this morning, you can still say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my lips. When God places value on your life, you can say, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. You understand the value and the importance of God in your life. You understand the importance of your commitment to God, because he committed his love towards us that while we were yet sinners. Talking about the greatest commitment of all. When some of you didn't even know who he was already committing himself to you. Because God had the power to look all the way in 2023 and say, there's going to be a church. People with issues, people with problems, but they still got purpose. Come on, let me preach to somebody this morning who walked in this morning trying to figure out your purpose. Can I tell you, God has a purpose on your life. Amen. While you were in your mother's womb, God was beginning to make purpose for your life. Amen. Because you didn't know who it was, God was trying to order your steps. Amen. You've turned, walked away, but God said, I've got mercy. that will reach you right where you are this morning, because I've got value in you this morning. I wish you stopped looking at yourself, how the world sees you, and recognize greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I wish you recognize this morning, somebody, that there's greatness on the inside of you this morning, and you can go through any fire, and you can go through any flood, and you can go through any fight, because if God's on my side, who can be against me? But we got to understand the value. Before you can understand the value, you got to realize where he brought you from. And I'm not one of those guys who like to, I'm no up way trying to uphold sins, and sin's a great thing. But you got to realize where God brought you from in order to realize the value in you. In order to realize how important God is to you, you got to realize where he brought you from. Because truth be known, if we could just raise our hands, some of us shouldn't be here today. Come on, the car wreck should have took you out. You should have got hit by the stray bullet. Suicide could have took you out, but somehow God stepped in. When the devil said yes, mercy said no. When the devil said it's over, the blood said it's not over with yet. I'm preaching to a host of witnesses today that you may not have a lot of words to say, but if you can just lift your hand and say, hallelujah, if it had not been for the Lord, the sure when he did, I would be 6 feet under, but somehow grace and mercy found me. When I thought about checking out, grace and mercy saw me, and it caught me. So when you realize how important he is to you, then you realize the value he's placed in you. He said, Peter, he said, I know who they say who I am. He said, but I want to know who you say that I am. I want to know who you say. I know what they said. I know what she said. I know what he said. I know what the folks down the road said, but I want to know who you say that I am. Because if you can tell me who I am, then you'll get the revelation of who you are. And he began to tell him who he was. And he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church and the gates of hell. I wish somebody would get the revelation this morning who you are. Amen. You're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. I wish you get the revelation that you're a warrior this morning, that you're a fighter this morning. Amen. That you've been called out of darkness into his marvelous life. Because of the value he's placed on your life. So God has a way of taking us from where we are and transforming that individual. He has a way of taking the brokenness in a person's life and changing them and taking them through the refining process. He takes them through the healing process. It's not an overnight thing. You know, I don't believe that Elijah, when he repaired the altar, it was just easy process. I believe it took time, it took effort, it took commitment. So when one comes to God, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes commitment, it takes dedication, it takes faithfulness, because you understand that God's placed that, he placed so much value in you, he decided to call you out of darkness. Out of all the people, out of all the people on Sunday morning who's laying back this morning getting ready to watch the football game, God saw fit to call us out of darkness. Give us one more opportunity. And here's the beauty of it. I know people who don't even know God this morning, who don't even have the Holy Ghost, who don't even have God saw fit to give them one more opportunity. Just one more chance. I'm going to wake you up this morning because you don't realize the value that I placed on your life. Because you should have been dead last night. Your heart should have stopped, but mercy stepped in because God said there is value in you this morning. And when you get to the house of God this morning, you're going to realize it was me who woke you up this morning. It was me who caused your heart to beat this morning. It was me who gave you a sound mind this morning. Oh, yes, I know it's cold outside, but it's me who drove you in my presence, because when you're in my presence, there's fullness of joy. And at my right hand, if you can ever get my presence, I will change your life forever. God saw fit to bring you here. So you can understand, you're just not here by happenstance this morning. The person beside you has value. You have value. Hear me. Tell somebody beside you, you are important to God. It's more than just yourself. You are important in the kingdom of God. God's going to use you to turn this world upside down. And listen, Cleveland needs revival. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But this town needs revival. Come on, somebody. Cleveland needs an old-fashioned move of the Spirit of God. And the only way that's going to happen is if we all get together and realize I'm here for you and you're here for me, because he's placed great value on what's inside of you this morning. That's why I'm just a believer, folks. I mean, listen, there's a reason why I just come once a year. I'm a believer that we just can't come to church and sit down. God forgive me. I've been praying, Lord, help me with this. But I'm just a believer that we just can't, because you just don't know who's going to walk in these doors wanting to hear your testimony. You don't know who's going to walk those doors one day who's bound by drugs, and your testimony says, he found me with a needle in my hand, but grace and mercy brought me out. You don't know who's going to walk through these doors one day bound by alcohol addiction, but you got the testimony that says, it was not a six-day program, it was not an AA program, but it was nothing but the power of the Holy Ghost that brought me out and sustained me, and what he did for me, he can do the same for you. So I wrestle with God a lot. That's if you want to put it in terms, and I never win. Because I see people I don't believe he just showed up to church and got the Holy Ghost, and now I believe God found you in the muck and the mire of life. He places value on your life. And I believe what's wrong with us nowadays, the modern churches, we forget where God brought us from. But we have the audacity to reveal those things which we need to seal, and we'll seal those things which we need to reveal. In other words, we'll talk to everybody about everything else, about the mortgage payment, about the new cars, about the new clothes, about the doctor. But when it comes to talking to somebody about Jesus, we'll scream and yell when the Cleveland Browns, easy. We'll save that for another year. But we'll scream and yell at a ball game. When it comes time to come giving God praise who brought you out, well, we don't want to say nothing because we may offend somebody beside us. But hear me, he brought some of you a mighty, mighty long way. He went through crack alley to find some of you this morning. And because God has placed value in this morning, so I know we got everyone in this building is over 20. God bless us. So we got the young folks downstairs having church. Hear me, folks. Let me tell you something, parents. Ooh, I love this. We should place great value on our relationship with God. But hear me. When those kids come up in this building, let me tell you who they're looking at. They don't care who's preaching this morning. They care less who's preaching. They're going to look at mom and dad and see what mom and dad's reaction is. So now let me take a step back. So don't you get upset at little Susie if she don't want to praise God. And don't you get upset at little Junior if he don't want to clap his hands. Amen. When they grow up and they don't become praisers, it's not the preacher's fault. It's not the evangelist's fault. It's not the Sunday school teacher's fault. It's because what they see mom and dad doing. But if they see mom and dad faithful to the house of God, if they see mom praying and dad praying, clapping their hands and giving God praise, amen, sooner or later, click a click, and Susan will be a praiser and Bible worship God, because we got to give this thing not just for ourselves, but for the next generation of believers. So we got to place value on those things, because God has entrusted us with turning the world upside down. So he takes the individual and he changes the life of the individual. Works from the inside out. He changes the heart. I always like to say that an outside expression is just an example of an inward transformation. So when God changes you on the inside, it's an outward expression. And then once again, me and God, we had this tussle, and I'll always lose because I said, God, didn't you deliver them from drugs? Didn't you deliver them from alcohol? Listen, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. You may hear me repeat this at the 11 o'clock service. But I just left Alabama, and there was this lady who walked in church, and you'll probably hear me to repeat this again. If you don't shout now, you can shout 11 o'clock. And what happened? High Noon Church. You know, Pentecostal, we have a church. This lady walks in, her hair was cut, she had jeans on, makeup on, and she's crying. She's crying. She goes to the front of the altar, she raises her hands. I watch God fill her with the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's, you know, we used to hear that. That's great. But the best part of this is so we're getting done, and this is watching that service. It's 1 o'clock, I'm tired, 1 o'clock in the morning, and the pastor makes a mistake and says, anybody got a testimony? I'm thinking, I need to get to my room and get some sleep. And this sister, she grabs the microphone, and she's shaking, and I'm watching people just look at her, and the Holy Ghost put on my heart, so you listen to what she's going to say. So I stopped in my tracks, and I backed up, and I watched this girl. She said, my testimony is 24 hours ago. She said, I was at home with my brother. She said, the devil spoke to me and told me my life has no value. My life isn't worth living. She said, I got my brother. We went in the back room, and she said, I took some fentanyl. She said, I took more than what I was supposed to take. She said, my brother got scared. He left. She said, next thing I remember, I was waking up in the hospital. And the doctor said, we're going to lose her again. And she said, the doctor said, we're going to lose her again. Not just twice, folks, but three times. She testified that I'm listening to them saying we're going to lose her again. But she said, every time they said we're going to lose her, she said, I felt like life came back into my body. I'm thinking, now this is about to get good. This is going to get good, because what we didn't know, those people in that church service who were bound by drugs, who were bound by addictions. But here was this woman who didn't know us from Adam, who said she was at home 24 hours ago when the devil tried to take her life, and God said no, because there's value still on your life. And she came to that church, got the Holy Ghost, and she began to testify that. And here's the thing about it. She didn't hide nothing from nobody. She was not embarrassed. She wasn't ashamed. She didn't care what people thought about her, but she recognized, I shouldn't be alive. But somehow the mercy of God gave me a space of grace, amen, to come to an apostolic church and to lift my hands and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that same God didn't stop. What he was doing is he was setting the stage, because she had value. And her testimony says that what he did for me, he's able to do for you. Because God places value on each and every life in this building. That girl said, I should have been dead. The doctor said, I should have been gone. She got the Holy Ghost, man. We baptized her. She coming out water speaking in tongues. We
talking about the joy on her face. She come back the next night, brought two of her friends. They got baptized, got the Holy Ghost.
I'm not talking about, these are not city slickers. They didn't have everything, but they were bound by drugs too. And she said, let me tell you what Jesus can do. He can take the addiction away. He can take out the evil spirits. I'm preaching this, so there's value in your testimony. There's value in your life. If you'll just recognize God didn't call you to be silent. He didn't call you to occupy a pew, but he brought you out so he can bring you in and showcase his glory.
So God brings us out. So when God brings us out, he automatically changes us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away, and then all things have become new. So God brings us in, and when he brings us in, he automatically transforms our life. Anybody glad to be transformed this morning? Hear me, if you have, let me tell you this guy named Peter. Let me tell you about Paul. This guy, talking about conversion. This guy wakes up every day. He expected to go to a 9-to-5 job, play golf. This guy wakes up every day. I'm going to kill some Christians today. He shakes his hand. He's excited. Anybody been killing Christians lately? My Lord, what an occupation. He's riding on his horse one day. All of a sudden, he has an encounter with God. And that encounter just didn't change his name, but it changed his life. Now this guy, he's going to turn the world upside down. Because now people realize, hey, is that, no, there's something different about this guy. He's laying hands on sick folk and they're recovering. What's so different about this guy? He had an encounter with God that changed his life. I'm preaching to somebody this morning that if you can ever encounter this God, he will not just change your name, but he'll change your life. Because his blood has enough power to cover a multitude of sins. And the reason you're here today is because of the blood this morning. It was his blood that washed your sins away. His blood covered your sins, washed them away, never to be brought up again. And therefore, he places value on your life this morning.
How many knows you got value this morning? Come on, how many know you got value this morning? Got value this morning. So God takes that life that he's transformed, that he's changed. He plucked out the fire. God got it to change the life. He takes that life, and now he wants to use that life because he's still valuing it. Not just to occupy a pew, not just to take up space, but God using you to turn this world upside down. Let's throw our hands in the air this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. He's placing value on you. He's committed himself to you this morning. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you're from this morning. God has value on your life. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. I'm going to get ready to close, but I want you to hear me this morning. That you all have value this morning. Doesn't matter how many times you messed up. God still loves you. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you made. He's still a loving God this morning. But this loving God wants to bring you into alignment where God is taking this church. And hear me, there's something about the church you got to understand. We're not taking a step back. The church is moving forward. And either you're all in or either you're all out. Because the church is moving forward. I want to be a part of what God is doing, don't you? How many want to be a part of what God is doing? I just don't want this for me. I want it for you, your sons, and your sons' sons, and your daughters. And I want it for whosoever will shall call up. I want this for everyone who wants this. Because he's calling us. He's calling us to a deeper walk. He's calling us to a deeper commitment. You just came off a fast. There's no greater time than
to reaffirm your commitment than right now. You didn't fast just to lose pounds. You didn't fast to get closer to God. There's no greater time than say, God, I want to recommit myself to you right now. No, we're not going to wait for 11 o'clock, but God, right now, I'm making a commitment that from this day forward, I realize my value. I realize my potential. I realize the greatness that you've instilled in me, and I'm going to let this flow out of me. So lift your hands right now in this building. God, we love you. We pray right now, Lord. God, for every soul that's heard this word this morning, help us, God, to reach for our potential this morning, the value, God, that you've placed on us this morning. I pray, God, this morning, Lord, that you'll baptize with the Holy Ghost, God. God, that you'll spark in us a renewing, a refiring this morning, Lord. And with that, God, we're going to give you praise and give you glory and give you honor this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Hear me. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you never repent of your sins, first of all, you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You hear me?
Out of 7+ billion people, God decided to wake you up this morning. Could have picked anybody else, but he chose to pick you this morning. Because he may not call us Wednesday, he may not wake us up next Sunday, but today, right now, he's giving you a choice. Because he committed himself to you, he wants to know if you're going to do the same for him. Think about that. Yeah, give you something to chew on until 11 o'clock. That if I'm not ready to meet the Lord, he's giving me a space of grace. It's time to stop running. It's time to stop playing. I've got to be baptized in Jesus' name, the only name that can save me. And I got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There's no way around it. There's no way through it. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So come on, lift your hands one more time.